I'd like to sing with you. I had the opportunity to go down and visit his father, the father's minister. He told me, now I know what the group's saying about the Bible there, but I don't want you to worry. Just take the Lord along with you. If you do that, the devil in hell can't harm. Then he said these words. Said, Jesus, if you want me to go, I sit there and just cry. He said it again to me. Said, Jesus, if you want me to go. So sometimes you're burden may be a little heavily on your shoulder, but God will take care of it. Oh, good God Almighty. I can't refuse. Now, Daddy, take your time. Thank you.
I was lost in my own world, feeling really confused. Didn't care about anything, I felt so abused. One day I looked up to where my help comes from, told the Lord about my problem, but it was already done. He cares, cares for me.
Holiness Church NFI radio broadcast. We believe in God-powered preaching, sound doctrine teaching, and hallelujah praise. Join us with an open heart and a listening ear, and let a friend know we are on the air. Please pray for Overseer William Eli Radcliffe as he gives us a divine word from heaven. Now, Pastor Radcliffe.
Number that no man could number.
Yeah, don't you want to join
that number that no man hold on. Don't you want to join that hold the number that no man hold on. Come on, join that number. Don't you want to join that number
that no man hold on.
Don't you want to join that number that no man
hold on.
Don't you wanna join that number that no man
can
number? Come on, join that number. Oh,
don't you wanna join that number
that no man can number? Don't you wanna join that number that no man can number?
Well,
don't you wanna join that number that no man can number? Come on, join that number with.
For the invite. Born and raised in Raleigh, North Carolina, so I'm excited to be here. I'm not only passionate about the community, but just passionate about Black Americans in general. So thank you for having me. So yeah, who had the first question?
Tell us about who you are.
Okay, so what I do is I work with those who have severe mental illnesses, helping them to find housing. I do that alongside Demetrius. I also work with transitional housing in Durham, North Carolina, helping individuals who are coming home from prison to find housing, to get reestablished. They had to do what they need to do. I myself been in prison 6 times, not because I was a bad person. I just lacked guidance. So that's what I try to offer individuals coming home so that they can transition well and become more independent and gain the skills that's needed to be productive. That's one thing I was lacking. That's why I kept finding myself going back and forth to prison. I also work with the organization that provides therapy for those who are formerly incarcerated and people of color, because we know it's all about perspective. So if we go into life with the trauma that we've been through and our relationship, then it's going to reflect on how we treat people and how far we're making in life. So that's what I do as of right now.
What got you where you are today?
I've been through quite a lot. So I was raised as a single child. My father not being there, I feel like I was missing something in life. And when I was raised, I was born in 80. So being raised, being biracial, wasn't cool when I was growing up. Also with my grandmother, although I didn't know her, just knowing a lot of my family on my mother's side was racist, that was a big, I guess you say, catalyst for me not loving myself, which affected how my behavior. So I grew up through life, like I said, with my mom. She loved me, but because of her trauma being raised in a foster home, she didn't know how to parent. So to me, there's a difference in loving a child and then knowing how to be a good parent. And I don't take away from that. She loved me the best way she knew how. But a lot of her actions reflected on how I felt about myself and affected my self-esteem about who I was. So growing up, man, I was very active, very intelligent, but got in a lot of trouble. By the time I was 15, I was born and raised in Raleigh. So I don't know if y'all know that flea market that used to be on Capitol Boulevard. At 15, I broke into that flea market and ended up catching a charge. And then from there, it's just a downward spiral. I ended up getting kicked out of school at 16. And from there, I came to the Coleman Street area, Hightower, if y'all know where that's at. And from there, I learned how to sell dope from a female at that. And yeah, that just went a negative direction. And then from there, I just learned habits that I couldn't break away from and started learning how to get money and everything that came with it. And, I went to prison I got my first dope charge in 2016. I was 16 years old. I remember going to the county jail, my mom coming to get me, and me being a rebellious teen and telling her, I don't need you. And leaving her after she came to pick me up from the jail. And, from that time forward, man, I just in and out of prison. As I told y'all, I went to prison 6 times. Every time I come home with good intentions, but would never be given opportunity by the community. Or my homeboys would be right there waiting on me with a pack or, with ideals that kept leading me in the wrong direction. But I knew something at that time was drawing me and pulling me because I didn't feel good about the lifestyle I was leading. And then from there, I think it was 2010. And that's the last time I went to prison. I came home 2011. But it was at that point that I felt like God was drawing on me. And then I gave my life to Christ. And while I was in jail, and it wasn't like a jailhouse religion thing, I just got tired of being sick and tired. I said, something's got to give, even if I had to be poor to get to where I needed to get to. So while I was in prison, I had a pastor that was discipling me, not just teaching me about worship, but teaching me about how to be, to live it out, to be a disciple, to be a productive member of society. So when I came home, that's what I began to do. And I was at a halfway house on Blunt Street. And from there, man, I just, continue to disciple myself, but I still felt the world keep pulling me and pulling me and pulling me when I'm seeing all my homeboys ride by, and seeing people where, that I know coming to allure me back to that street life. So I ended up rebuilding a relationship with my father, moving with him for a year, which was, to me, a beautiful thing because I never had a relationship with my father. So I was able to work with him, get reestablished in the Lord and get reestablished in myself and gain confidence in myself. And then I came back to North Carolina in 2013. And from there, man, I just went on my journey. I didn't get my license until the first time in my life until 2014. So it's always been an uphill battle for me, man, trying to reestablish myself and show the world that I am more than what I've been through. Through all this process, I've had 2 kids. I got my youngest son here with me now. He's 5 years old, and I have a 15-year-old. He's a high schooler at Leedsville. But I'm thankful for all that because I'm able to be, and that's why I really wanted to see parents who are parents here today. Is like, it's so important for us to not just be there to provide, but to teach our kids. I listen to my son now as he talks to his friends, saying things that I say to him, things that I try to instill to him. I see him reflecting that to the kids. That he's around. And it's a beautiful thing. I didn't realize how much of an impact we have as parents to show them, to guide them, to teach them, to be there for them. That's how we're going to break these generational, what the world says, generational curses that's been over our lives, especially as black people in America. And so through all that, all the trauma, all the experiences that drew me a passion for those coming home from prison and those dealing with mental health issues, because trauma is real. The things that we've been through, the things that we've seen our parents go through, slavery, like all these things calculated into what we see today and seeing reflected in what our kids deal with. That's why I'm so passionate about even speaking to the kids my son deals with, because, man, when you see, go to these high schools and you see some of these kids and how they act and the lack of guidance that a lot of them have, man, I think it's so important that we be there for our kids, not to yell at them, not to continue to bash them and give them punitive consequences, but to teach them and disciple our kids. Yes, sir.
Your father was not in Raleigh. Was your father, was he in Raleigh?
No, he was in Bennettsville, South Carolina. That part of my family's in Bennettsville. So it was good that I had that breakaway for a year. And they're in the country. So being away from this environment, like my cousin, my third cousin, owned that barbershop that was right there. That got shut down. Was very active over here. So like I was in the thick of what was going on in Raleigh. So for me, I had to separate myself from this environment so I can like realign my thinking.
So that's what I was trying to bring out. You had to separate yourself from a vision of
peaceful. Yes, sir. Yeah, definitely. I think that was a big catalyst. If I didn't have that break, I don't know. Despite the discipleship that I had while in prison, I don't know if I would have made it, because I felt the pull, definitely.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes, ma'am.
What is something that you learned that can be shared with the youth and to the parents?
To the youth, I would say, be who you are. And one thing that never was instilled in me was to love myself and to take care of yourself and to be aware. One thing I do is I'm a big advocate for wellness, someone that's of a wellness coach. So, like, knowing what it means to be well for you and knowing what you need to do to be well, I think, for teenagers, man, because they deal with so much stress, so much peer pressure. I deal with my son now trying to emulate everything that he sees in school. Thankfully, I'm there to guide him and to redirect him and to teach him. But I would say, man, be who you are. Don't let school or don't let individuals tell you who you are, but be that determining factor of who you are. And for parents, I definitely would say, like, be there to teach your kids. Be there to love on them. Just like we want our kids to grow and to change and to evolve, we have to do that as parents. I've even taken parenting classes. There's not a handbook on parenting. We try to do the best that we can, but we also can't use that as an excuse to continue on passing on these traumas that may have been passed on from our parents or grandparents. It's up to us to overcome this stuff and to be empowered, man. And the big thing is we got to stick together, continue to love one another. I was listening to the worship, man, and one thing that's centered around is love. And do we really know what that is? We're able to speak it with our mouths, but are we able to show it? If you look in the Bible, Jesus ain't never say, I love you. He showed it to each and everybody he came in contact with, whether they treated him like trash or whether they treated him with the respect and the love. So that's a big thing. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I have it in my car. And that's something my ultimate goal is I want to start. You know, they have fraternities and colleges, but I want to start something ultimately for the community, man, because we need to be in power. We need people that look like us to be there for these kids, man, so that they could be doctors and lawyers instead of. And there's nothing wrong with being sports people. There's nothing wrong with being entertainers, man, but there's so much out here for us, so much other ways for us to make money, so many other ways for us to be successful in life. So many other ways for us to be empowered as people and to take back control.
Okay, Mr. Bobby.
Yes, ma'am.
The question, since you're in a spiritual setting, we did hear that you've been through some things, your trauma, and being in imprisonment. Can you please share with us how your spiritual bringing or was a success to where you're at today?
My spiritual journey, I think, was a big proponent in me being successful because I didn't have a moral compass at one time. So I didn't really see the difference between right and wrong. A lot of things that was justified in the culture that I came from was saying that, okay, it's okay to be like this. It's okay to do like this. It's okay to have relationships like this and to communicate with each other like this. But the reality was somebody on the outside looking in like, Dad, why are they arguing? But to us, we're communicating. So a big part of my spiritual journey is to recognize that something that is going on that we can't see that reflects on things that we see in the natural realm. I think me understanding who I was as a person and then really looking at my actions and seeing what was good and what was bad, what was positive and what was negative, how it was affecting my relationships, how it was causing me to be an ineffective partner, an ineffective friend. And we say it all the time about being brothers and sisters. I think my spiritual journey helped me to really know what it means to be a brother to somebody, what it means to love unconditionally. Yeah, because like with my kids, I'm able to love them despite the things that they might do. I'm able to love my community members despite, and that was only through my spiritual journey that I was able to understand that. I was able to have grace for other people when before I was very self-centered, very ungracious to people. So it helped me to be selfless and to really love people and not have ill motives. It purified my heart. I got some rough edges still now, y'all, but I have a purified heart. I don't feel like I have ill motives because I check myself. So that's something else that my spiritual journey helped me to do, is check myself.
Father, will you
feel death? You said, did I feel death? Death in the sense, what, natural death? Did I fear it? I think I did. I think naturally we all do. It might not reflect. I just didn't value life when I was in my midst. So did I fear death? Yes, but I also didn't value life. Now I understand. That's another thing my spiritual journey helped me with. I think I'm glad you asked that question, was just realizing about death, understanding it. So because it helped me to not fear death. Now to where I can even talk to other people that's going through grief, losing loved ones. That's a great question. But, yeah, that's something now that I reflect on and just see, to help people see the value of life and that death is real and that it happens to all of us, but there's opportunity afterwards.
More questions? Yeah, I have one more. you said that you were working with, if I'm comprehending correctly, with rehabilitation, like
men and women coming back home from prison?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a non
nonprofit?
Organization,
501c3? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have a website, too. It's restorativetransitions.org. But, yeah, so what we do is the individuals come home. They give referrals from either the case managers or family members. And we try to establish contact with them while they're in prison just to build that rapport. And then from there, they give them case management, support them, give them that accountability, which I think is big when individuals come home because it's so easy to get off course. But the reality is majority of individuals that come through the program are successful and are able to complete their probation, then transition into a form of independence, whether it be them renting a room, but it's them getting a job, getting their license, getting their vital documents, and being empowered, being confident in what they can do.
In other words, your organization is a hand up instead of a hand.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I think that's why they had me there as a program manager, because I can bring that level of accountability when a lot of times you don't have that lived experience. It's kind of hard for people to listen to you. Even with the youth, it's kind of hard when you ain't really sharing your own story. You're just telling people, don't do that, don't do this. So, yeah, that's the big part about it, giving a hand up instead of a handout. Handouts people become reliant on. We see that in the community today where, you know, once we get assistance, we kind of relying on it. Like, I had a purpose when I came home not to be reliant because I didn't want to be a slave. Because when you relying upon people, you're kind of enslaved by them, whether it be in a relationship or whether it be from the government, you know. The goal is to use that as a tool to get on your own, if need be. If you can't, that's understandable. But if you can, you know, don't rely on nobody. Tony Evans. I don't know if y'all know the pastor. Tony Evans. Yeah, he. What is the name of that book? It's about being a man. You know what I'm talking about? Kingdom Man. Kingdom Man. That's a big motivator. Let me think, what else? There's this book I'm reading now. It's called The Four Agreements. Man, that's on point. And it's big about, you know, what we agree with in society. And it's up to us. A lot of times we're given our ideology. So the way that we view life is given to us by our parents, by our peers. So it helped me to understand, like, I have control over what I choose to believe and what I choose to agree with in life. So, to answer your question? All right. I would say if you don't have the tools, then find out. Getting connected to support, whether it be mental health support, it could be therapists. Like I have my older son in Y Achievers program through the YMCA. There's a black young man of color through the YMCA. There's 100 black men for a lot of the youth. There's various programs, man. To me, it's about, like, changing our way of thinking. So that the best way to do that is to get connected with people, whether it be mentors within the church, whether it be mentors within the community. And, like, us coming together, that's a big part of it, is changing the way we think. I'm big on perspective. I got a tattoo across my arm. It's just like we really got to change our perspective on life, change our perspective on relationships, change our perspectives on careers, and, like, hey, what do we want to do in life? Find out what you're good at and then pursue it. You know, don't let the world tell you, hey, you got to be this type of person. No, you be who you feel like the gifts that God gave you or the talents. Use them to be what it is that you'll be. Use that to be what it is that you want to be in life.
Bob, I want to thank you so very much for you.
Okay.
And I want to bring him up here, and I'm going to put a plug in because he's kind of old. But this is, in the mental health world, in our profession, we have to take certain classes and keep ourselves. And he does this, he's a rap facilitator, a wellness recovery action plan facilitator. I want to open this up to, I don't know if you've been about this, I want to open this up, that is a great program. You don't have to have an interest in mental health. If you just want to become more aware than your surroundings, I encourage you to take this rap class, and I want to let everybody know that if old sister wants to host it here, my man Bobby is going to be our facilitator. about bringing that back to you all. Everybody, I'm going to be on Bobby.
Thank y'all for having me as well.
Now, Listen. You heard a lot. And you heard a lot today. But what we brought was an example of what a life in prison can do. He is a living example of what a life in prison can do. Some people use this thing that we call Christianity as this mystical thing. But you know what Christianity is? It's a decision. It's to make an appropriate decision to change and reverse course. Father, this is why we need you, but it's also a Christ in you. That's a decision. Sometimes you see the Holy Spirit won't fall in your lap. and you jump up, shout, and you flop, it's good. But you have the power to make a decision. We're going to ask that our family and put it more calls. And I want you to stand to make a decision. If this one would like to make a decision, to just try something different, try to be their one that wants to make that decision, not to set up for us.
Tried it on my own, but my faith in me was the truth came to be. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Should you keep telling me that I ain't be well, away from your presence, get lost, get in desperate. I need you, Lord, I need you. Living on my own,
yeah.
Everything's going wrong, and want to admit it, but now, Lord, I get it. I need you, God, I need you. And I want you to know, wherever you go, I'll follow you, Lord, and you'll
take me through.
Lord, I need you.
Anyone that has a special prayer request, we ask that you raise your hand at this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how. Give you thanks and praises for this day, this time, and this hour. God, realizing it's your grace and your mercy that has put us in this position and in this place to just come to you. We don't take for granted the ability that you have given us to communicate with you. And because we don't take for granted, we want to say thank you for having a listening ear. And God, with that listening ear, we ask that you come into this place, in this space, in this opportunity to make things right for us. You know what we stand in the need of. You're omniscient. You're all-knowing. So we don't have to give you details. We just want you to have your way. We don't have to tell you how we feel. We just want you to have your way. We don't have to tell you where it hurts. We just want you to have your way. Right now, God, if it hurts in our body, have your way. If it hurts in our homes, have your way. If it hurts on our job, have your way right now, God. God, you are understanding and you are gracious, and we know that you love us beyond that we can love ourselves. So, God, give us the ability to let go and let God. Give us the ability to say we surrender all because all to you we owe. We ask that you touch every person in this building. Touch the ones that are saying, pray for me. Touch the ones that are going through. Touch the ones that are positioned to be a blessing to someone else. Touch their hearts. And right now, God, we ask that you bless our pastor and his family as they travel up and down the dangerous highways. Bless them that they can come back the same way they left. And God, we ask you to bless us right now so that we may run on to see what the end is going to be. Let us set aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us that we can run the race set before us. And right now, God, we ask that you not only guide our hearts, but guide our minds and guide our feet and guide our mouths so that we may be a light unto someone that has lost their way. And God, we say thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Thank you for how you're going to move. Thank you for how you're going to set free. Thank you for how you're going to deliver. Thank you right now, God, because our faith goes past our circumstances. And we call ourselves blessed. And we ask all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. In Jesus' sweet name we do pray. Amen. While we yet stand, last instructions before we dismiss, we got some hot dogs across the street in our learning center, or what is called Lincoln Park Food Distribution Center now. The Lincoln Park Food Distribution Center, we have hot dogs. Adults, we're going to ask that let the children eat first. And we got plenty, and then you all can get your own. So it's in to-go fashion, so they're going to have it kind of pre-made for you. You're going to get some hot dogs, ketchup, mustard, bag of chips, and a drink. Amen? Now, this ain't your Sunday meal, but this is tied over to them potatoes to get done at home.
Amen. With uplifted hands. If there's nothing else to be said, with uplifted hands, let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the church be dismissed by saying amen, amen, amen.
Lincoln Park Holiness Church is about loving people and helping community. Our main objective is winning souls. You are welcome to partner with us or help sponsor this ministry and broadcast with a donation. Please visit our website at lincolnparkchurch.com and click the Let's Give tab at the top of the screen. Feel free to leave comments. You can also download the Givelify app on your mobile phone and look for Lincoln Park Church. Cash App, hashtag Lincoln Park CRF. We are located at 13 Heath Street in Raleigh, North Carolina. God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us next week on NFI Radio and Catch the Wave from the number one radio station reaching the world with gospel music and preaching.
I was lost in my own world,
feeling really confused.
Didn't care about anything, I felt so abused. One day I looked up to where my help comes from. Told the Lord of all my problems, but it was already done. He cares, cares for me.
I'm climbing up side of the mountain. Got to go through. today, for tomorrow
may never come your way.
Do all the good you can today.
You never make it in.
While the game back on
yesterday,
yesterday,
yesterday.
Think not about the past, but live your life today. Strive for how you're calling in the spirit. On your knees before Christ, you must stay. So don't look back on yesterday. For tomorrow
may never come your way.
Do all the good you can today.
You never make it in.
While looking back on
yesterday,
yesterday,
yesterday.
Listen, don't you dwell on where you've been, but think about where you need to go. When evil comes and turns you back, just look around and say no. Don't look back on yesterday. For tomorrow
may never come your way.
Do all the good you can today.
Never make it in.
Lying.
Never make it in.
Backbiting.
Never make it in.
Don't rock.
Never make it in.
Hiding your hand.
Never make it in.
On the solid rock.
I'm gonna make it.
Rest of my life.
I'm gonna make it.
Rest of my life.
Come back here. say thank you. If God's been good to you, raise your hand. Hold them up high. Ain't it good? Y'all don't know how good I feel tonight. I'm not in Los Angeles, California. I'm not in Chicago, Illinois. I'm not in Miami, Florida. Where is my man? I can't hear you. Where am I? I'm so glad to be back home again and see all of my friends in the building. You're from everywhere in the world. Well, well, hush. I've been down. I'm gonna be prayer, make a way for you. I have a bunch of new fellas, but this one ain't new. But when you pray and mean it from your heart, God will answer prayer. Did you believe what I said? God will answer prayer. If somebody's sitting back next to you don't want to enjoy themselves, tell them to get out of your way and let you enjoy yourself. what you're going to do. Fight for the plan that you've already done. All my friends, sing that for me. See, they said you wasn't going to get off of dope. They said you wasn't going to get off of cocaine. I don't care how many rehab centers you go to, if you don't tell God about it, he ain't gonna answer, brother. Oh, yeah.
To you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Radio Network.
Out of here. Sunday morning, we would have a family prayer. Mama did, into that old covered wagon.
Jesus, you've been good to me,
and you're good.
Oh, yeah. You've been good to me.
You've been good to me.
We never talk last night. And the storm ranges this life of mine. I know that because every dark cloud, every dark cloud, I know one day your sun will surely shine. All you got to do, all you got to do, just hold on, just hold on, you hold on, just hold on.
Let's go.
Dr. Wade on the NFI. Coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Radio Network.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
If you're ready, stand on your feet tonight and let's receive all the way from Dumas, Arkansas, the Racy Brothers! Remember me. How y'all doing tonight? Ooh, y'all making me feel good in here.
Little song we've been singing for a long time. I've decided that I was gonna make Jesus my choice. And if we sing anything tonight that somebody can be a witness to, I want y'all to forget about these cameras and come on, let's have a little church in here. Will that be all right? Let me sing the song. Listen here.
Some folks. Would rather in heaven
have house
and land, and suffer
for
church, these are all material things, but these are the very things we treasure,
we treasure
and forget. I want you to help me tell Little Rock tonight that we know the road and the going
and the going
and each one of those hills
and
so hard to find. But we started out
crawling around
a long time ago, and I don't have no
around me every day.
Let's say it one more time. about now. But Paul said every time I desire to do good, he said evil was always there. I wonder how I got a witness in here. Well, every now and then, that old mean low down dirty get on my knees. Let me tell you what I do. I get down on my knees and I begin to talk to the Lord. I say, Lord, I need you. Build me up this love. Build me up this love. Build me up this love. With my enemies, when they get all around me, don't you let them bother me, Lord. Build me up this love. Witness. I said it's a good thing know you got somebody on your side that you can call on. 35 years old, and I found out that there was not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And when I was going through, I found out that there was not a comforter like King Jesus. Oh, I'm going to keep on until I get a witness up in here. 35 years old, and right before my very eyes, I've seen God heal folks. That's when I found out that there was not a doctor like King Jesus. And when I was going through, heart was broken. Stepped in and mended my broken heart. And I come to let you know tonight that I don't care where you go, how far you go, where you look, you won't find nobody that can do you like Jesus. I'm gonna keep on till I get a witness in here. Somebody been down, and you know it was nobody but Jesus that brought you out. Can I get a witness in here? Somebody been lonely, and you know it was nobody but Jesus that took you in his loving arms, rocked you. Can I get a witness in here? Yeah! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! You keep on going, I want to sit down. You keep on going, I want to sit down. I'm getting ready to praise the Lord because he's been good to me. Anybody here know we've been good? Is there anybody here know that he's done something for you that mama wasn't able to do? That father wasn't able to do? Some of you went to your friends, found out those were the very ones that walked away closed doors, scandalized your name up and down the highway. Is there anybody here know that they're not a friend? Like the lowly Jesus. Jay, let me say. Oh. everybody, why don't you go on and say it like you're showing up mean it?
No.
From Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Radio Network.
Are you ready?
when we get out of here. Let me think just a little bit of this. Is all right? Huh? Out of crowd everywhere. Nobody been able to tell me what I want to know. Maybe y'all help me tell me what I want to know, okay?
Right, I believe here, but I said, go.